Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Richie Incognito calling Tua ass. Has everybody calling everything ass on the text page now? Nick Haley's.
I'm glad we can elevate the discourse.
Nick Haley's debut, ass. And then the follow up is actually Haley's debut might not have been ass, but it was still booty. LOL.
That's a good booty, John. I need you to do that in the Houston Press. A power ranking of posterior
ways to say butt.
Denigration.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sound as nerdy as possible on this one.
Ass is the worst. Booty's kind of upscale ass is what that is. Yeah. All right.
Kids like saying that's cheeks.
That's dude. That is my son James's favorite one is cheeks.
Yeah, and he's not a kid anymore.
No, he uses cheeks.
He's
all
an
the
adult
time,
attorney. Is he using it in the courtroom yet?
No. That's James's.
Yeah, liquor Sammy. One.
Sammy wouldn't be afraid to.
Sammy, Your Honor, that's cheeks.
It's cheeks, Your Honor. Yeah.
And then Your Honor wouldn't even know what to do with whether that's contempt or not.
Nope.
You'd be like, oh, that must be some legal term I don't know about.
That's
the kids
right.
Are doing.
That's right.
Kids are using these days.
Yep. Yeah. That's right. No, James. James got so sideways with Eric Gordon when he was a Rocket that Eric Gordon's nickname just became cheeks. On our group text. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
That's you know what Sammy should do? I know he's got a good job now, and I know his bosses listen to our show. Yeah. But consider this. Maybe you find your little niche, the Rusty Harden happy endings are not a crime. Maybe the attorney with a happy ending.
Just keep business cards in all the massage places throughout Houston?
That could be I want to see those billboards. I want that lawyer to one day have an inappropriate ad that runs nonstop.
Yes. And then, right. Yeah. I want to do a 45-minute interview with my son talking about that. Yeah. And then he will say, it's not a crime. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love Rusty. Running into Rusty every now and then is fun, man. All right. We'll do 5 Reasons I Hate You in the next segment. These Astros, man. The Astros last night. This one, to me, was in the conversation for worst game of the year. Given the fact that it occurred on the same day that the Mariners finally catch you in the standings, there's that. You got complete game shutouted, a two-hitter, which is, in 2025, that's the ultimate embarrassment to me. I don't care that Gausman's a good pitcher. I don't care. Getting a complete game shutout thrown against you may as well be a no-hitter in 2025 because guys just don't do it anymore. And the big thing to me, Seth, is that while we've been giving Joe Espada and the Astros a pass to a degree throughout most of the summer because of all the injuries, and the pitching injuries are still a thing, I get it, and I know Espada is working with a skeleton crew in both the rotation and in the bullpen right now. That's no excuse for this lineup, and it's not just yesterday. That's no excuse for this lineup not being good since they got all their guys back. Yordan Alvarez has been back for a month now. Carlos Correa, you traded for him back on July the 30th or 31st, whatever it was, the day of the trade deadline. Jake Myers is back in the lineup now, so we can't use the excuse of having to trot Taylor Trammell or Cooper Hummel or whatever 162 hitter you got from Sugarland on the Sugarland Express. You've got your guy back now who's been hitting 300, and you're going out, and again, it's not just yesterday. I don't know what the numbers are now. I just remember like last week, 11 of their last 18 games, they've scored 3 or fewer runs. They've added on more games since then where they've done. Even the game that they won in this series 2 nights ago was a 3-2 win that you needed heroics from Yiner Diaz in the top of the 9th inning to win. There's no excuse for this lineup right now hitting the way they do with runners in scoring position, with runners on base, or at all.
I'll tell you what, man. There's no excuse, and yet Altuve's getting up there in years, and his current skid notwithstanding, if you just look at August and September, he's hitting 200 with a 629 OPS. I mean, it's been to try to think that there's going to be some kind of like, don't worry, Altuve, I'll get it going in the playoffs. This might be the year where finally, okay, age catches up to him, and you're not gonna get that same old Altuve again.
Okay, so that's interesting. So I'm nervous about Altuve. I'm more nervous about like 2028 with Altuve or 2027 and how that's gonna look. 2027 really, because that's when the contract is still $30 million a year. By the time 2028 and 2029 roll around, the way they've structured that thing, Altuve is gonna be making $10 million, so he's not eating up nearly as much. That's 3 years from now. As far as this season goes, he was one of the best hitters in baseball in July.
Right.
So that, I guess there's two arguments here. You go, okay, that's recent. It's in there somewhere with him. But the counter argument, I think, is the one that you're alluding to, which is
he's older.
Yeah.
Perhaps wearing down on the season. You know, remember, it was just a couple years ago that he hit 300 with a 900 OPS. So far on the season, right now he's 261. With a 762 OPS.
Yeah.
But you're 100% right, though. It's still in there. And you might just, once the playoffs hit, it might just click for him. It's 100% still in there somewhere. But with older players, it's the droughts start becoming more frequent than the good times. Yeah. And that's where we're right in the middle of a big old drought right now.
Yeah, with him, we are for sure. Jesus Sanchez was a disaster in the field. This is where, you know, it's weird, like, how the hitting affects other things that aren't hitting. Like, for example, you brought up, like, the fact that the Astros had the infield in the first inning of a game is because there's no confidence right now that they can go out and get you three or four runs. Like, you've got to play the first inning like it's the seventh or the eighth inning. And so the reason you're doing that is because you're poor offensively. The reason Jesus Sanchez is out there playing right field for you is because the Cam Smith that we saw in July is no longer that. Cam Smith, when you talk about Altuve being a disaster the last 6 weeks, my God, look at Cam Smith's offensive numbers. Cam Smith makes all of those plays in the outfield. You know, like, so if Cam were still hitting the way he was in July, there's no platoon going on. He's playing right field for you, and he's making those plays. Jesus Sanchez is in there because you got to platoon Cam Smith. You can't have him in there against right-handed pitching. You just can't right now.
Yeah. And then the biggest thing and the frustrating thing is that the one of the things that they wanted to get better at this year. So where Espada is a candidate for manager of the year at the All-Star break, now I'm looking at, okay, one of your areas of focus this year was having better judgment at the plate.
Yeah.
And they're just atrocious. Their judgment at the plate is right up there with the A's and some of the other worst teams in the league. Yep. Like, they're just – they're not competitive. They're not Christian Walker is great. He looks more like the kind of Christian Walker that you wanted when you signed him. But his judgment, his number of strikeouts is just ridiculous. I guess the absence of Paredes could have helped that out a little bit. But it's not like he's going to – or that if Paredes were still here, the judgment at the plate numbers as a team would be good. But they're not better. They wouldn't be good.
No, but that's interesting you say that. No, they'd be better because he's better. I get what you're saying. He's better at it, so their percentage would at least be better. But they as a team were better when Paredes was in the lineup. Like, is there something to that you know, we talk about tone setters. You know, is that a guy who's set him being in the lineup somehow? There's some sort of gravitational pull that other guys have a little bit better judgment? Because as you point out, Seth, this hasn't been an all-year thing. Through the first few months of the season, they were way better and way more selective at the plate. It's become a second half of the season thing, and Paredes went out shortly after the All-Star break. I think it was July 19th was the date that he went out with a hamstring injury. It's been a disaster since then, for sure. I do kind of wonder that. Like, sometimes when you have a guy like that in the lineup, that, you know, guy, there's something about guys observing a guy doing that, maybe being a bit more mindful of it themselves.
Yeah.
With Paredes, I don't know. Maybe I'm grasping at straws here.
It's weird. Just even looking at like Christian Walker's chase rate, because the last couple years before this, he was up in the high 60s or 70 percentile, and this year he's in the 49th percentile. Yep. Like, just I know a lot of this is weighted by the beginning of the season and what have you, but he strikes out with runners in scoring position all the time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's almost not an exaggeration.
It's been all year, man.
It feels like it's 100% of the time.
It does feel like that. It's okay. So now we're getting Altuve has been asked the last 2 months, old ass now, so not even booty. He's been ass.
Oh, like the cellulite's starting to show up. So, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So what Sean is saying is the Astros offense is a big old bag of cheeks. Okay.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Espada is cheeks. That's on the tech. Okay, now here's one. Joe Espada was a manager of the year candidate 2 months ago.
Yeah.
If they miss the postseason, something they've not done since 2016, it's been a decade of October baseball here in the city of Houston. What happens with Joe Espada?
This is, okay, the injuries to the pitching staff are almost enough of an excuse for everything when it comes to the team performance. Yeah. But the approach at the plate and everything else, that offensively you've got this many guys underperforming, and that's where I start to let it seep in, that I can give an excuse for the overall performance if all it was just the pitching alone. But you're failing at both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
It just feels like an all-out collapse all over the place.
I'm not saying Joe Espada should be fired. I'm just asking the question. And the reason I ask the question is this is an owner who severed ties with a GM 4 days after a World Series win. Yeah. You know, and I know that team was mostly Jeff Luhnow guys going and winning that World Series in 2022. I get it. But if you go back and look at the totality of James Click's moves that he made, I mean, there's not a Correa trade in there. There's not a Verlander trade like Dana Brown made his first year as GM. There's not a Greinke or a first Verlander trade. But there were a lot of good moves that James Click made. You know, Yiner Diaz is the catcher of this team because they got him and Phil Maton for Miles Straw. You know, Mauricio Dubon has been a solid utility guy. They got him for nothing when James Click was here. And there were other moves that were made, too. And I know some of you are going to be rolling, whoa, whoa, big whoop, Mauricio Dubon, big whoop, Yiner Diaz. Like, yeah, but they were all positive moves for the Astros. Like, there aren't – James Click, I mean, I can't remember him making moves that were seriously damaging to the team. He didn't give out contracts that I can recall that were – I mean, he was the one – the Yordan Alvarez extension happened on his watch, not Dana Brown's watch.
Yeah.
So I say that to say that I think everything is in play with Jim Crane. You know, I think the way that James Click – was let go from the organization tells me, and the timing of it right after winning a World Series. If he does that with a GM after winning the World Series, he could very easily fire a manager who had all these issues during the season after getting eliminated from the postseason, or maybe even getting a wild card, but getting knocked out in the first round might be enough.
It's definitely in the realm of it wouldn't be a huge surprise,
right?
Right, yeah, right. Like it's given everything that you laid out, it wouldn't be a huge surprise.
Right.
It's not. I don't know if you expect it, but it wouldn't be a huge surprise.
Yeah. Y'all are reaching hard. This Astros team is decent at best, playing a bad division. They aren't
how
good.
Are we
let's
reaching?
Be honest.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, they're the tallest. What? How are we reaching?
What do you, they've been losing. Like, okay, you're saying they're decent at best, right? But they've been still underperforming. Like, guys are very specifically underperforming by their historical standards.
What?
Like, what are we reaching? Am I saying that they should be winning the World Series?
No, I'm going to ask politely, what are we reaching on, Texter? I just said yesterday was the worst game ever. I've been outlining all the futility going on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
We just talked for 2 minutes about firing the manager possibly after the season. Not once has the word World Series come up other than talking about the World Series they won 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Are we reaching by just talking about them? Just by giving them airtime like, on our radio station?
I point out that they're 25th or so in runs scored this year and everything. Right. Yeah. Am I saying they're better than decent? We're saying they haven't even been playing up to decent. What the hell are you talking about?
Okay, someone just said pump the brakes, guys. Now I'm gonna give this person a pass because that could either be somebody who is y'all are reaching hard guy, or that could be pump the brakes on even talking about firing Joe Espada, which I'll accept that. Like it is.
Or Altuve. You know, I'm talking about how Altuve's been the last couple months exactly.
Yeah.
And, okay, is this sign Is this the sign that an aging guy is actually aging the way nature intends?
Well,
I don't know.
Are we reaching hard? Okay, was I reaching hard by saying it's inexcusable what this lineup is doing right now? That is this texter saying that a lineup that has Jose Altuve, Jeremy Peña, Carlos Correa, Yordan Alvarez, Christian Walker, Yiner Diaz, et cetera, that they should be scoring more than three runs on a regular basis? Am I
right?
Reaching
like,
hard?
What's your definition of decent? So yeah. Decent at bat. Like, we're pointing out that they've been one of the worst in the absolute league.
Yeah.
So I would, if they were hitting average right now, that would be a revelation. They're really, really bad.
Yeah.
Like, this is they're not scoring runs.
Yeah.
We don't need to get advanced analytics into any of this.
No.
They're not scoring runs.
No.
It's like a Civil War battlefield on the pitching side of things. Yeah.
There's still games to play. That's a text. Yeah. Pump the brakes on Altuve and the manager. We're not there yet. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't say get rid of Altuve. I'm just wondering, all right, what are we
going to... I'm not even saying get rid of Espada. All I'm saying is that we are living in a world... We have steadily been descending into this world that we're about to possibly live in now. The peak point here for this franchise was the 2022 World Series. Like, that's the most recent peak. Since then, they went through a season where they had to fight to win the division in 2023 and lost in seven in the ALCS because they couldn't win a damn home game. And then last year, they had to similarly fight and punch their way out of an awful start just to win the division again and then get eliminated in two games by the Detroit Tigers. Where they are now is the continuation of the trajectory that they've been on since they won that World Series. So now these are conversations that have to be had. Like, FanGraphs has them still as, it's still a better than 50% chance they're in the postseason, but it's a lower than 50% chance that they win the division. Look, we're going to get a lot of truth over these next 9 days, okay? They're playing a bad team in Atlanta with their two aces going over the weekend in Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. If they don't win 2 out of 3 against Atlanta, it is a major red flag. And then you got Texas and Seattle coming to town next week. The truth will be evident the Monday after that Seattle series is over. We'll know where this whole thing is going after that. But yeah, like, it's... Now, this text I'll agree with. Boring to watch, no excitement. Yes, I was bored to tears yesterday during that game. And they've had way too many boring games this year.
They've been a losing since just arbitrarily, just July 1st. They've been a losing baseball team since July 1st.
Yeah, yeah, it's
and
not
it's actually
fun.
Longer than that, but just, yeah.
And we're not used to it. You know, we're not used to this. It's you get spoiled. All right, 5 reasons I hate you. They play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, do the Texans on Monday. We have 5 reasons, and if you want to text in some more, I'm open to them. 713-572-4610. We do 5 Reasons I Hate You, Tampa Bay edition, next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.